Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. May Day, of course, and we're seeing May Day played out all across the U.S. And the West, but specifically the U.S. college campuses, we're seeing that play out. But by the way, the force behind that, there are two forces. You're going to hear George Soros all day long about that, and the U.S. campaign for Palestinian rights, that's a Soros entity, but what they're not telling you is the Chinese Communist Party is behind this as well. Specifically, there's one city in China that's people. If you watch it very closely, you can identify who the people are who are funding, financing, backing, and promoting the unrest at the campuses across the U.S. as are the compromised leaders, professors, and administrators of the campuses. I mention that only because when you look at social media today between the southern border and that, it seems like the gates of hell have opened, haven't they? I mean, chaos everywhere. Well, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com has predicted this. Not predicted, has written about this and said this day was coming. But there's more of a darkness behind all of this. Everything that you see out there, there's a spiritual darkness behind it. At Wisconsin Christian News, at the conference of beautiful people I met there, speaking with them, everyone can feel this spiritual oppressiveness, this spiritual oppression. Something has changed. Something has changed. And again, the gates of hell, the interdimensional gates of hell, have opened, and we're seeing it play out in real time, in real life. And that's why two very special guests today. That is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. From stevequayle.com, you can get to Renaissance Precious Metals. You can get to Gen 6. You can get everywhere you need to go. Bookmark that website. That's stevequayle.com. It'll be in the program description box at hagmanpi.com. This is only going to get worse. Don't shoot me. I'm just telling you. It's only going to get worse. They're ramping it up. The spiritual darkness is being ramped up. We have to pray against it. We have to have faith. But we also have to act as well. But the fact is, we have to have faith, and we have to pray. Pray unceasingly like never before. And two of the most godly men are with me that I've ever met. And again, Steve Quayle and Jesse G. The director of Antiquities for Gen 6 is Jesse G. Before I get to them, two items of note I must take care of. To our good friend, Adam. I'm not going to give any last name, of course, or location. You know, look, I feel like I know you. I love you. Your prayers our prayers are with you, and you're going to get through this. Trust me on this. You're going to get through this, okay? Thank you to all of our supporters. Thank you for the people who listen, who watch. We appreciate all of you, and I know that many of you are going through rough times right now, and you're in our prayers, and I mean that. Sometimes that seems hollow, but the fact of the matter is you are in our prayers. The second thing, very quickly, look, if you haven't done so already, go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Hagman, iwantmyhealthback.com/Hagman, and do what I do. I'm telling you, I believe in this stuff, Nanosoma. It's an oral spray, and it tells your body what, in my limited capacity, shall I say, how I describe this. It tells your body what it needs and provides it, okay, or helps your body to provide it. That's not a medical thing. That's just my limited understanding of things. And the reason I say that is because I see it in my neuropathy. I see it in various blood tests that have come back better than before without any other changes. It's that. iwantmyhealthback.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman. Or just go to Hagman PI and click on the link. All right, with me again, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Jesse G, the Director of Antiquities of Gen 6. I'm going to turn this over to Steve Quayle. Steve, it's good to see you. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, like an unfamiliar face. Well, it's exciting to be on with Jesse G today. And obviously, Doug, the Earth in the Crosshairs, if there was ever a more accurate title, by the way, that's the name of the latest Gen 6 DVD coming out, DVD cover. And Eric, if you'll just throw that up, I think it'll help people to understand before I introduce Jesse. Okay, and Earth in the Crosshairs, the interdimensional gates of hell have opened. What you're seeing on the right-hand part of your screen is one of the gates that have been located in the Ural Mountains in one of the most remote countries in the world. And it's interesting because, as you know, those of you who have been praying for Jesse, praying for me, my family, Doug, his family, it's the glyphs, the ancient symbols that tell a story. This specific glyph, you see the Earth, obviously. You see Mars in the upper left-hand corner. And what the glyphs, some of the symbols that have already been interpreted, are referring to the judgment of Lucifer on Mars. Not because we say it, it's because the glyphs say it. Since this time, we've turned up another, when I say turned up, research has turned up another. And by the way, I just want to give a special thank you, Phil W. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start, and Jesse, before I bring you on, you're going to hear some amazing, miraculous stuff. And I want you to understand miracles are the only answer. Miracles are the only answer. They're the only way we can be led. They're the only way we can be fed, because doubt, fear, unbelief, terror are upon those who are nominal. And those who, there's going to be a difference. Nominal Christians, they're going to abandon the faith. But nominal Christians, they're going to turn their eyes on Jesus. And the phenomenon, the reality, the above natural, the supernatural good of God, only God is good, is going to be manifest in the believers' lives, because that's the only way we're going to make it through, you know, earth, to get into the presence of the King. But I want to pray for a 13-year-old girl. Doug referred to a supporter of his. She's a gifted child. She's in a Christian school being bullied to the point of suicide. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this young lady knows Jesus. Her name is Isobel, I-S-O-B-E-L. And so I promised Doug, we'll use his first name, Adam, I would pray. Because a desperate father, godly, God, whole thing's godly, but the devil is out to destroy this little girl. And I want to make it clear, I gave him the counsel. I felt the Lord told me, take her out of that Christian school. And I believe in Christian schools if they stick to the scripture, which most of them don't, and take her into the home and school her. She's talking about taking her life. And ladies and gentlemen, every day, someplace, somebody, some little girl, little boy, younger than 13, they take their lives because they're bullied. Bullied is, I'll say this, is another word for terrorism. So, Doug, I just want to pray, and I'd like every believer to pray, because in this, I'm going to pray for everyone. May I do that? There Please. Is no safety in anything outside of prayer and seeking the Lord. But I believe in Jesus' name for Isabel's deliverance. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, you have been so gracious to the Hagman platform and to myself and Jesse and others to proclaim the things that God, the King of Glory, are doing. And right now, Lord, we come against the spirit of suicide and murder against this little girl, Isobel. We come in the name of Jesus against the attacking evil spirits trying to get her to take her own life. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of suicide. We rebuke the spirit of murder. And God, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would give Adam a supernatural breakthrough, and also that he will understand the lateness of the hour. God, we praise you and we thank you for setting Isobel free. We claim her life. We agree, Lord, she's a member of the body of Christ. And we rebuke the spirit of murder
and suicide, death, hopelessness, and despair. And Lord, you'll make a straight path for her. And Lord, in this vein, I thank you, and I pray for everyone who's adult child, that pressures are going to increase where suicide and the spirit of suicide is going to permeate the land. There'll come a time when it'll be granted, but Lord, there's another answer. I know personally, God, that that's an evil spirit sent to vex the saints. And Lord, I come against every act of murder, plot, scheme, and plan of Satan and his demons and fallen angels to destroy the people of God, especially, Lord, those who are listening to this program, because I don't believe they're on this program, Lord, by chance. Even our critics, the spies, Lord, I pray that you take the blinders off the spies and all the different agencies, that those who are assigned to monitor what we say and do, that you'll give them, Lord, this last chance to repent. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in Jesse's life. We thank you for what you've done in Doug's life. We thank you for what you've done in my life, because I'm still here, by the grace of God and the faithfulness of your intercessors. So, Lord, I'm asking for those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that are listeners to Doug's program, to be delivered from all evil. Lord, you're teaching us how to pray and deliver us from all evil in the Lord's Prayer. That means the deliver us from the evil one. Lord, a man is judged by the friends he has or that he keeps. And Lord, it's the old statement, you know, you've got to walk in agreement. So Doug and I and Jesse are in agreement, Lord, for little Isabel's life and the lives of every one of his listeners of good faith, Lord, and those who aren't of good faith, give them an opportunity. Because, Lord, there is no way to express the lateness of the hour. But thank you for allowing Jesse and I, Daniel Holdings, and the team, the Gen 6 team, to bring to people relevant information. And we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Amen.
Well, I asked Jesse, we're going to get into the stuff with what's going on with us, but I want you guys to understand that Jesse's had a miraculous history, and he can go wherever he wants on this, but he was in the murder capital of the world, and it's only gotten worse. Jesse, tell where you were, and then you just, you know, just tell that story. It's a miracle, brother, because you know the phone calls we had, and it's no exaggeration. I said, what are those sounds in the background? And Jesse said, they're gunshots. And, you know, I think you said they're shooting it out on the streets in front of my, you know, apartment. Take it from there, because this is the faithfulness of God answering our listeners, our intercessors' prayers, because this is a pivotal point. It's an absolute transformational miracle in Jesse's life, and we're praying that for Isabel's life. We're praying that for each and every one of your lives. As you pray for us, that blesses us to stay alive and pray for you until Jesus said, time's up, come on home. Go ahead, Jesse.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Doug. And thank you, everybody, for your prayers, all of those who intercede for us. We really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Okay, so as Steve was saying, I had been living in the murder capital of Mexico, probably even the world. It parallels with the casualties and the deaths in the wars in the Middle East, on a different level and on a different note. But death is still death. And I was and had been in the middle of everything that has been unfolding throughout that region in Tijuana, Baja California, for the past 10 years. And one thing that I have been extremely grateful for is that, you know, without the background and how I have grown up as a kid in the neighborhoods of Central, Southern California, Northern California, and I'm not, you know, this is in by no means I'm not attempting to glorify, you know, the gang lifestyle, because if there's any youth, young kids, young men and women out there that are listening. You know, that's not a path and a route that you want to take. There's nothing good that could come from that. So, but because I was able to grow up in that type of an environment, you know, there's a lot of hard lessons that I learned. And, you know, through these lessons, through the utilization of these lessons that I've learned throughout my history, growing up and even up to this point, I've been able to navigate through the underworld of Tijuana. And there's different levels, but one thing is there's different levels to this type of an atmosphere. And what it is that we're, one thing that it has been really important for me to understand is that, you know, and what would be extremely important for anybody to understand is that we have to know the basis of how this functions. And, you know, and those that are in position that set the standard to the cutthroat politics that, you know, that are taking and claiming so many innocent and lives and, you know, not so innocent lives, you know, through, in the past 2 years that I was living in that area, I have seen a continual increase of organized crime from different areas and different sectors of the region of Mexico meeting in this part of the country simply for the purpose of attempting to take control of the border. The border is extremely important to the cartels, and the Tijuana-San Diego border is one of the most important locations in the world to these individuals. And even though we sit here and say, oh, you know, this is happening to the dollar, and, you know, the dollar is this, and, you know, and yes, it is true, but at the end of the day, you still have the most dangerous sectors or groups in organized crime buying to take possession of this border in order for them to get their hands and accumulate as much of the American dollar that's possible. So as I mentioned, in the past 2 years, you know, I've seen the increase in criminal organization and groups and cells around me. And, you know, there's one thing knowing that they're there, and it is another thing to know how to identify them, because they could be there and you won't know who and what to look for. At least that's how it was prior to 2022. After 2022, I noticed a shift in how they were moving, and it was more blatant and it was more obvious. And one thing I noticed is, one thing is for certain, is that these tyrants have no regard for innocent life. They are merciless, cutthroat, cold-blooded killers, and they will not hesitate to do anything that they want to do. And one thing I started noticing is that they were killing innocent people. They're killing business owners. They were extorting people from within my proximity. And one of the reasons why I believe that, you know, that it didn't get to me in the way that it was getting to everybody else is because, you know, I'm thinking that they were thinking I'm running with somebody, until eventually I was approached by them. And, you know, it's one thing to watch them move and operate and to have the discernment and the type of wisdom to see them operate not only in the forefront, but also in the background. But once they make contact with you, it's a whole different ballgame. And it's important for, it was important for me to know and to understand that you know, they came up to me, Steve, as, you know, I was, and I don't want this to sound like I'm super or hyper spiritual, because, you know, I'm just somebody that really loves the Lord and I love his word, and my life is all about pursuit. I'm all about my pursuit, my walk, and my discipline in seeking the Lord and receiving word from him about what it is that we're going through at the moment and what it is that is to come in the future. And, you know, the scripture says that he will show us things to come, but we need to be in position. And so it was on a night that I was, you know, closing a fast, that I walked to the corner liquor store and I was approached by these individuals and they offered me a job and they started asking me questions, and, you know, and I remained calmed, but inside of me, I was extremely disturbed, because I understand the nature of what those types of situations mean when you have encounters with these type of people and you begin to interact with them. You're no longer on their peripheral. You're now within, you know, their immediate proximity. And these people are not the type of people that do anything without purpose. And their main and sole purpose is to advance their cause for the purpose of generating large amounts of income, and how it is that they can use people. And if they can't use you, they will discard you. And this is where immediately I went back home, and I had already been in prayer. So that's the beautiful thing about, you know, my walk with the Lord, Steve and Doug, is that, you know, I prepare today for tomorrow. Today is the tomorrow that we thought about yesterday. So in order for me to be in position tomorrow or the next day, I need to make sure that I'm in position right now in order for me to receive, whether it be warning or revelation from God's word about anything and everything that we're dealing with. And it doesn't matter what the situation looks like, you know, and it's not an easy thing to do, but I stay connected to God. And you know, this is something that we all need to press towards and we all need to reach for. Like the Apostle Paul said, we need to stay in a continual mode where we are pressing and reaching towards God so that we can be with him at the moment and not be misinformed. And we know how to respond in, you know, within the week. You know, the Lord revealed to me that it was time for me to move. And I was happy about that because, you know, I have grown accustomed to the area, the location where I was at. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we all need to come to the realization and know and understand that we're not in this for what we want to do. We're in this to what God has called us to do. And because I know the area and the level of situations and circumstances and what God has us doing for him, you know, I have to have a tent mentality like Abraham when he, you know, the Lord was telling him, get up and go. And this is where I'm at right now. You know, I'm tucked away somewhere in central Mexico, where, you know, the cartel activity is at a minimum. It's still around. They're still around. They're just about in every area, but they're not omnipresent. Only God is. And
yeah, Jesse, I want to share something because this is critical. This is so important. The gangs that he's referring to, ladies and gentlemen, and the deliverance by the living God of him, those gangs are in this country. Those gangs are in Bozeman, Montana now. The two biggest gangs are in Bozeman, Montana. They're trafficking in fentanyl. They're trafficking a lot of stuff. So I want you to understand, Jesse, I want to say this because I know you never glorify, and none of us should glorify our sin. But you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not someone that doesn't have street smarts. He was number two in the crime cartel, the Mexican mafia, before he was imprisoned. And Jesus taught him, brought him to himself, and set him free. What you're seeing, and I'm excited for what God's done in your life, Jesse. You know that. I'm excited for what he's doing in your life. But basically, I didn't know, and this is critical. This is why your prayers for me are so critical, everyone, because by you touching God for me, my prayer, and forgive me, Jesse and I had a phone call. I said, you got to get out of there. And, you know, I mean, he knew it. I said, you got to get out of there now. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
And yes. Then how long before I said, get out and get out now, was it? I'm going to teach somebody something, because we're going to go back to your important point. Like, it's time to build the tents, because permanent residences are going to be problems. Okay. But if you would, how long was it before I called you on the phone? You were praying. You were saying, Lord, you're meditating on the things. And by the way, Jesse doesn't drink, everybody. So I don't want people to think you went to the liquor store. You know, people will take everything you say apart. Okay. If I said, you know, whatever, they'll take it apart. So I just want to make that clear. But how long, Jesse, and I'm going to turn it right back up to you. How long before the Lord spoke to you? You didn't speak to me. I want you to understand this, everybody. Your prayers, Hagman listeners, intercessors, were the vehicle that God answered the cry of Jesse's heart. You tell the people how long it was.
Well, you know, immediately that night, once I came back from the liquor store, let me get into just a little bit more detail. So I think it's important to be transparent at this moment. And I was breaking a fast, and I needed some type of an ingredient to make me some food, so which I didn't have. So I went to the liquor store to see if I could find it. I don't remember what ingredient it was, and a bag of chips, because I love chips, and I was really upset when I had that encounter with them. And I was like, man, this is not good. And when I went back home, I went back into prayer, and I was upset, but I was, you know, expressing myself to the Lord. And he revealed to me that night, he said, we're moving. And you know, I one thing is that I also don't ever want to make decisions out of panic. And, you know, it was a situation where, you know, that needed immediate attention. But the buildup that we have in our walk with God, the buildup in our prayer, the buildup in our seeking him, meditating on his word, it's the things that we did yesterday in our walk with him that have become an important conduit at my moment. In my now moment, for me to be able to hear him speak in critical situations and the likeness thereof, like within the week, you know, I started packing, but we were still filming. Vinny was supposed to come in. Steve had, remember, Steve, you said to me, Jesse, you know, get your stuff and leave and go. And I was like, no, Steve, we have to finish this film. We have to finish the part of my assignment that I'm here to do. We cannot just not do this, because then the enemy's getting the best of us in this area. And I am so sorry.
That's the intelligence community calling for you.
I apologize. I just put it on do not disturb, and it was an unknown number also. So
yeah, go figure.
Okay. Yeah. So okay. Back to where I was at in regards to, Steve telling me, you know, get up and move. But we had Vinny, our camera guy, coming in like within a week. And I said to Steve, I said, no, Steve, we have to finish what it is that we're doing. And once I'm done with this, you know, I'll pack up and go. And Vinny was coming in within the week. And, you know, my thing is like, once I'm coming out the house and I'm moving around with my camera guy, like I'm no longer comfortable because of this interaction that I've had with them. But it was important and necessary for me to stay focused. And even though it seems like an unfortunate situation or a circumstance, we also have to remember that God uses everything to shape us, to mold us, to develop our character, and to see how we're going to respond to different types of situations, especially those that involve, you know, where we can lose our life. And, you know, and this takes me back to when, you know, I was running around with these guys and, you know, partaking in, you know, organized crime activities and so on, et cetera, is that in those moments in my life, you know, I didn't care whether I lived or died. And I was willing to give my life up for a lie, for something that wasn't the truth. How much more am I not willing to give up my life for something that means something, for something that's meaningful, for something that pertains to God's kingdom? So if I was willing to die then, I'm willing to die now for whatever it is that God has called me to do. I needed to make sure that I was making the right decision and staying behind and finishing our assignment and what it is that we had left to do. And through the grace of God, we finished what we were doing, you know, segments for this film that we're releasing. Here I am out of Tijuana, at an undisclosed location, and preparing for the future, for whatever it is that God is going to continue to do with us, through us, by us, and for us. And whatever it is that wherever it is that he leads us, you know, it's exciting to me. Everything that I'm doing for him and everything that he's doing with me is to me, it seems like it's just one great big adventure. And I'm excited about what he's done, and I'm excited about what he's doing and what he's going to do in the future with all of us. And I'm grateful to be here to be able to share this type of information with you guys about the pertinency and the relevance and how it is that these organized crime and groups are meeting at the border, and how it is that, you know, that they are in war with each other, attempting to lock it down to have complete control over it for monetary gains.
In addition, if I can add this,
please.
In addition to monetary gains, although that's significant. What you said, it's really interesting you said that, Jesse, because I've been doing some research on the different sectors of the border. I've been talking with people down there right now and in the past, from Michael Yon to others. I find a connection, direct connection between what's taking place at the border with on a lesser scale with Gavin Newsom from California in the sector you were referencing. And Newsom's people in Newsom's orbit that connect from his orbit to the CIA and to the FBI specifically, and the intelligence community in general, as well as, and I'm going to throw this out there again, the Chinese Communist Party, because there are triads that are involved with the cartels, and specifically Communist Chinese Party linked triads to the cartels in that sector of the border, especially because of Newsom's relationship with Communist China. So what you are fighting is a multifaceted bunch of evil. So I said that only to, not that you need validation, but reinforce the dangers that that you faced and you still face with your work. Go ahead, sir. Steve.
Well, I, again, this is why it's so critical. I want to thank each and every one of you. And see, Doug, I don't believe in, pats on the back. I believe in miracles. I think if people see the miracles associated with what we're doing at Gen 6, this isn't just because, oh, some guys want to look at old stuff and find cool old UFOs. I mean, these are some of the comments, I get. Yeah, man, I love the cool old UFOs you guys are finding. No, this is about warning and informing the people of God who the scriptures very clear are the ones who are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But it's not because they're destroyed that God doesn't love us, because surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And Jesus is the ultimate prophet. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, okay? Now, that has to be said. You know, it just had to be said. I want you to understand the image, and Jesse, you'll appreciate this. I asked the Glyph team leader, both you and Doug know that, is that I said, give me what is the latest information. You guys, there are just so many myriads of demands, and I have demands to do this, do that. Will you do this? Will you do that? All I care about is doing what Jesus has called me to do, okay? And what's interesting, you'll enjoy this, Vinny. I think, I'm sorry, Jesse and Doug, I told you. Our cameraman was approached by one of our critics, and our critics wanted to get our cameraman drunk to tell, to ask him, you know, what do you really know about the artifacts? The cameraman was 9 feet deep, 8 and a half, and counting his height, he's 6'2", I think. You know, Vinny is our cameraman. I had him sign, at his request, a non-disclosure agreement. So one of our biggest critics, now this is important for you to understand, the authenticity is no longer an issue. The people who are giving us the most crap, besides the Smithsonian, the three-letter agencies, and everything else, are believers. Well, why would they not want the truth to come out? Is it because they didn't get it? And then what's their motive? So our motive is one thing only, the glory of God, being obedient to the Lord, knowing that all of our work is not in vain. And if one person gets saved, I think it's safe to say thousands of people get saved because God is allowing us to answer the question of creation and all of the peripheral supernatural evil that's coming. He's allowing us to present for a time before the biggest, it may be post-World War III. I mean, literally, you know, and I'm under the impression, Doug, that World War III can happen very soon, okay? It's certainly prior to the election. But I'm going to read something, Jesse, and you haven't seen this, and neither has Doug, because I just got it, okay, from the team leader of the Glyphs. You're going to love this, because, and then, hey, if you want to put this up, Eric, in the background, just the front cover and blow it up, it'll make more sense as I read it, okay? Just the front cover of what you showed on the Earth and the Crosshairs, our DVD cover. It's important that people understand. All the gates, and there's multiples of these, and then blow up the gate right over here, the, you know, the part with the Mars in the beginning. Yep, you can even blow it up a little more if you would. All the gates and the group of gates were designed for the express purpose of war against God. We know the scripture is very clear about that. The primary use is taking the power of one or more suns, and focusing all that energy into the tiny beam to make the most deadly beam. Think of an energy weapon in the Space Wars Death Star that is that these weapons are about only thousands of times more powerful. The glyphs around the gate, the glyphs are the symbols that the Glyph Project is working on, relate to how to get it to function both as normal gates and as well as a weapon. You could almost call this a transversible wormhole. And by the way, I want to share something, ladies and gentlemen. In the latest DVD, it's not out, the trailer's being done right now, but we have one of the smartest astrophysicists in the world who's the expert. I'm not going to tell you his name. You'll recognize him talking about transversible wormholes, stargates, and portals. And then when I'm going to turn it back to Jesse after this, we're going to go into orbs, Jesse, and the whole revelation of why this is so important at this time. The glyphs around the gates relate to how to get it to function both as normal gates as well as function as a weapon. The tic-tac glyphs, I'll see if I can find that. The tic-tac glyphs are on a engineered spacecraft that the Nazis, you've all seen the different Nazi flying saucers, but isn't it interesting that some of the symbols, not all, are on the Nazi flying saucers. And it wasn't reverse engineered technology, you guys. It was the blueprints that even men like Dr. Wernher von Braun, Hermann Oberth, the two most famous rocket scientists in the Nazi world or the German world. And it's the literal fulfillment of they built this by plans, you guys, that they received through, you're going to love it, the Gates, okay? The Gates. If anybody's ever seen Hellboy, I don't recommend if you haven't, but if you notice the first opening scene, it's Nazis and it's the typical bald-headed villain. No respect. I mean, a tall guy, tall, bald-headed villain and his, you know, blonde girlfriend, and they're entering into a gate and the allies are there surrounding you. But let's go on. The Tic Tacs, which is basically an oblong spaceship, and if you're watching, for instance, Skinwalker Ranch, you'll see that these things are going into the mesa in northeastern Utah and coming out of the mesa, but they're changing, they're transforming their, and this word, Jesse, it's going to tie into what you're going to teach everybody. It ties into their ability to change their form and go in and through solid matter, okay? It declares who owns the Tic Tac. In essence, it's bragging rights for the technically elite fallen ones, because the names of specific fallen angels are on some of these glyphs. It tells how to enter the Tic Tac. A Tic Tac is just the term for the craft, okay? And stories of Tic Tac victories. Anybody who knows anything about warfare, you know, somebody said war stories are always written from the perspective of the victor, and they may not always be true. But in the kingdom of hell, the number one overriding concern, or overriding, not concern, overriding, if you will, attitude is pride, arrogance, rebellion. They will be like the Most High God. Just the problem there. Number one, they can't overthrow God. And number two, they're not going to be able to succeed in destroying every image bearing human being, not hybrid, not, you know, xenomorphs, not neuromorphs, but human beings who have the genetic lineage of, you know, of being created from Adam and Eve, who only can have that image restored through Jesus, okay? And so this is what I'm going to look for it, and I'm going to let Jesse talk. But what's important is that we're at World War III right now. We're at it. You don't know, and how do I say this carefully, Jesus? This isn't na-na-ni-na-na. But if you don't believe the things you see with your eyes, if you don't believe what's happening in the gang and the penetration into this country of organized criminals, Chinese regular troops, the threat to nuke Russia from us, the declaration of war against Russia in the last NATO, quote, secret paper, there's no secrets in NATO. And so what we're dealing with is a multidimensional war, Doug. The scripture is very clear that there was war in heaven. So that's what we're talking about. So when Jesse is being filmed in the Baja, when he's digging in the dirt in Mexico, it's amazing. I don't know anybody that, you know, God's used more, let's say, hands-on, pun intended, Jesse and Doug, but hands-on experience of actually digging these artifacts. So why? I'm going to summarize, turn it right over to you, Jesse. It's telling us why the weapons. And I lived in a world for 5 years, tacked into it. I can tell you this, and this is a true statement told to me by a very high-ranking general, beyond what most people think even exists, that all the special operations, all the above black, above top secret stuff, they all want ancient technology and ancient weapons. That's the importance of our presentation, Earth in the Crosshairs. And the gates of hell are going to open. And only by the power of the living God and information, if God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, then our whole purpose, Doug, Jesse, in today is to give them the knowledge. I don't care how much money a person has. I don't care how many theological degrees they have. I don't care about anything. All I care about is their walk with Jesus such that Jesus will say, Father, he's written in the book of life. It's not those who say they claim no Jesus. It's those who Jesus claims as his own. Go ahead, Jesse.
And if I can add to that, Steve, and then Jesse, I'll turn it right back to you. That's my walk and my salvation was bolstered by understanding the context of Gen 6 and all of the artifacts, and understanding how everything that's taking place right now today, it goes back in time and was set in motion back. It contextualizes Gen 6, your work, Gen 6 Giants, and Jesse's work today. It's not necessary for salvation, but boy, I'll tell you what, it gives you insight into the supernatural. If that, hopefully that made sense. Go ahead, Jesse.
Amen. Oh, man, I'm just so grateful that, you know, where we're at and how God is, you know, using us and how he reveals situations and circumstances. I want to pick up where Steve made a brief mention of why and what is driving, whether it be the cartels or human trafficking or different areas and different parts of the governments and, you know, the weapons and technology that they seek and desire to have access to on the basis of the covenants that they make with these dark forces. And, you know, I want to express something to the listeners in regards to weapons and technology and, you know, basically the way I see the different governments of the world, whether it be, you know, those that claim that they are on top and those that are competing with them to, you know, take the number one spot to be the world dominating power and utilizing these weapons and technology for their own personal use and advancement. I want God's people to know and to really, you know, think about what it is that we have at our disposal when we are walking upright and circumspect righteously before the eyes of God. We have the greatest technology at our disposal, and that's prayer. That's our walk and our relationship with God. There is no technology, there is no weapon in the world that is greater than the technology and the weapon that God has given us by staying connected to him. The church was meant to be an institution that leads the world in the direction, in the way that God has instructed us. And unfortunately, that's not what is happening right now. But we're also talking about gates and portals. And I think it's important for us to understand and to know that you know, just about everything around us is a gate and a portal. When we're talking about the artifacts and, you know, like the Large Hadron Collider, and these are advanced levels of allowing the enemy to occupy space in order for them to move and to function. But the Word of God tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That in itself is a portal. Proverbs tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We have the ability to be able to call into existence what it is that we allow to move within our atmosphere and through the use of God's word. And I want to talk about what the enemy and how the enemy is moving, functioning, and operating in every area of our immediate life. And this pertains first and foremost to the experiences that God has given me in my encounters, in my battles of spiritual warfare through prayer with witches, sorcerers, and warlocks, and how it is that they set themselves in position in order for the enemy to move and what it is that they utilize, giving the enemy that type of reign in order for them to function from within our proximity. And we have to remember that the only reason the enemy can move in any area is because that space that the enemy is moving in is not being properly occupied by God's people. Because when we find ourselves in a place that we are properly occupying in faithfulness, in obedience to God's word, his instruction and his promises, the enemy cannot move and is not allowed to function when we know that we are walking in authority, in the authority of God's power. And throughout the years within the time span since, I know most of you, or probably just about everybody listening, knows about my encounters with fallen angels and about 8 years ago when they tried to come for me. And I've learned so much from that. And one of the main things that I have picked up from me playing back the tape in my mind and what it is that I seen and how it is that I experienced these things. And, this has never been a pleasurable moment for me. And every time I engage in spiritual warfare and I am able to feel the attacks of the enemy on my mind and on my body, it's never a pleasurable thing. It's never something that I can say, I'm sitting here and, I'm engaging witches, sorcerers, and probably hybrid beings in spiritual warfare. And it's such a great thing. It's not a pleasurable thing. It's not something that I enjoy, but it's something that God has called me to do. And it's something that I intend to continue to do so as long as God has me here. So I'm going to share briefly some of my experiences and why it is that I believe God allowed me to experience those situations and circumstances so I can be brought to this moment where I'm at right now and be able to expose the enemy in the way that I have through my experiences. And, when it comes to experience, God does not just want to make his children knowledgeable to his word. He wants to make us men and people of experience, walking in faithfulness through these difficult experiences, because at the end of the day, a man who is walking for God, holding on to everything that is written in his word, is a man of experience in God's ways, can never be at the mercy of anybody with an opinion. And with that being said, the first thing that led me to say what I'm about to say right now at this moment is, I'm watching orbs, sometimes in the shape of a craft, sometimes they look physical, sometimes they look metallic, sometimes they look transparent, sometimes they look like a cloud, rise up from the ocean. And I'm thinking in my mind, what is it that calls these entities to be, located where the water is at? And there's something about the water that draws the fallen angels, that draws the disembodied spirits, that draws the Rephaim. And I always say the Rephaim because this is how God has revealed the disembodied spirits to me. Now, if he was to reveal them to me as the Nephilim, which I know the Nephilim are out there, but this is what and how God has revealed them to me through the scripture, the Rephaim, the dead, using Job chapter 26, verses 5 and 6, and Isaiah chapter 14. And the question I would ask myself is, why are they operating through the water? And it's not just the water as an element that they are using, but it's every single element out there that they are using as a tool and an instrument in order for them to function. before I get into, throwing or using verses to reinforce everything that I'm saying, I want to talk about the secular world of the occult and how it is that they are functioning and utilizing these elements, because it seems to me that they seem to understand this concept better than, you know, God's people. And if we pay attention to how, you know, whether we're talking about the Aztec, the Mayan, the Greek, the Roman, the Sumerian pantheons, whether it be Enlil, the Sumerian god of wind and storms, or whether it be Tlaloc, who is the Aztec god of water, or whether it be Viracocha, who is associated with the wind, or whether it be any other type of fallen angel within the pantheon that it finds itself in throughout the cultures, every single one of them, from the highest to the lowest, is connected to some type of an element, whether it be water, the earth, fire, or the wind. Now, there was a time where, about 5 years ago, that, you know, God placed me right next door to a witch, and I found out, I didn't know she was a witch till after like a year of me living next door to her, until I started seeing her go into her backyard and light this giant bowl full of fire, and, you know, her throwing stuff into the fire and, you know, releasing curses into the air. And I had no understanding of what it is that was happening and what it is that she was doing at the moment. But one thing I did know is that every time she lit that fire, or she came out and sprayed her front yard with water, I would feel the attack of the enemy on my mind and on my body. And I, you know, people might ask, Jesse, how do you feel? How does a spiritual attack feel? Well, a spiritual attack feels anything and everything that is contrary to the fruit of the spirit. If there is any type of emotion flowing or circulating through our mind or through our body that is contrary to what the fruit of the spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. If we are feeling anything that is contrary to how God has called us to walk, move, and operate, I'm here to tell you that you're having some type of a spiritual attack. And every time she would light that fire and begin to throw stuff into this bowl, I would feel all of these emotions at once, so intense that every nerve and every sinew and muscle tissue around my spine would cramp up and completely cripple me. And I would throw myself on the ground and I would cry out to God, not knowing what was happening. The only thing I could understand is, like, you are under attack in a way that you have never experienced before. And this is what it is: anxiety, fear, hate, anger, confusion, strife, rebellion, all of these emotions at once. Your body is not designed to handle this type of impact, whether it be psychologically or physically, because if you're feeling it psychologically, eventually you're going to feel it physically. And it wasn't until God began to show me, and this is why I believe it is important for us to pray for our enemies. This is why I believe that God has called us to pray for those who persecute us, to pray for those who misuse us, who talk about us. Why? Because it is in love that we are able to understand. The scriptures say every time Jesus taught the disciples something, he said, "Are you yet not able to understand? It is because of the hardness of your heart that you do not understand. It is because your heart is hardened." So when our hearts are hardened, and we're not flowing and walking in the love of God, we're unable to really grasp and discern and understand what is attacking us in our immediate proximity. And one more thing before I continue into the exposure of this. See, I'm right here exposing the enemy and how he functions through the utilization of every single element. But the thing is this, is that I'm also here sharing the love of God with everybody, because it is only through the love of God, the way that the scriptures say, that we can understand what the mysteries of the kingdom are. Jesus said that we are to be knit together in love so that we can be able to attain the riches of the fullness of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, so that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge can be opened unto us. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And because God has allowed me to understand this spiritual principle, I believe that he in return has rewarded and will reward any one of us with the ability to be able to understand how the enemy is moving and functioning and operating and how it is that we can defend ourselves against them. So I noticed that this witch was using fire and water. I didn't know it then. Why is the water? Every time she came out to water the yard, I remember the moment that awakened me to how she was weaponizing the water was I came out one time and she was spraying the side of my house and the palm tree on my side of the house. And when I came out, she was, you know, doing this type of motion. And when she seen me come out my front door, she immediately moved the water and started watering in her area. And, you know, I started doing research on that and studying why. I said to myself, I went online and I said, why do witches use water? Well, they use it as a point of contact. And when I went out to look at the palm tree, sure enough, based upon the research I did online, there was a nail with a little ribbon on the palm tree. It was a small nail and a small ribbon that, you know, you wouldn't even notice. But she was using that ribbon and that nail as a point of contact for her attacks. And that's why I was able to feel, that type of a spiritual attack with that much intensity. And prior to me thinking of the water and the fire and the smoke that she was burning in the backyard, the night where I was almost abducted by the fallen angels, I remember I had I was so nervous when I had detected them walking in my house that I needed to calm down. So I decided to make me some tea and heat up the water in the microwave. And I put a cup of water inside the microwave and hit the microwave at 2 minutes. After it was done, I opened the microwave to get the teacup out. And bear in mind that at this moment, there's all kinds of anomalous movement happening within the house. And I'm like inside, I'm like freaking out, but I'm remaining calm outwardly. And when I opened the microwave to make the tea to calm myself down, there was a small orb on the rim of my water in the teacup. And I was like, and I looked inside and I couldn't believe it, because like in my mind, I was like, how is this happening? And what the heck is this, you know, small orb the size of a fly, you know, rotating around the base of my teacup, and what is it doing? And I reached to grab the teacup and I was zapped by the orb, and I freaked out, panicked, went into the bathroom. I wasn't walking righteously with God at that time, so I had no authority and I had no power. I was completely at their disposal. And went back, opened the microwave again. I had left the door open, but once I looked in there, the orb was gone. And I pulled the teacup out, and I grabbed a fork or a spoon, I don't remember. And I was looking inside the water. I'm like, what's going on in here? And I was able to detect some type of a silicone jelly that, to me, I don't know what it was, but if I was to guess what they were using that for and what it is they intended to do with it, it seemed like some type of microchip that was weaved out of the element that maybe attached itself to my spinal cord. I don't know, but all I know is that there was something in the water and I was freaked out at the moment and I flushed it down the toilet. I should have kept it, but I was, you know, I wasn't thinking straight. And now that I think about it, I was like, man, you should have kept whatever it is that they were, you know, knitting out of the water. And how is it that they had this ability and access to me? And how is it that they were able to use the element of the water to create whatever it is that they were creating in order for them to use it against me? Well, that's an answer I do have. I mean, that is a question I do have an answer to.
Well, hold on, Jesse, hold on a minute. I want people to understand this is before the hydrogel. This is before the vaccine revelation of the nanites and nanobots. So in essence, again, which is really important, I don't know if you, and I don't want to stop you, but why this is relevant is because, ladies and gentlemen, it's the fallen angel technology. It's the mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. We are the nation of that wouldn't repent of our sorceries. So what Jesse's telling you and what's coming to my mind, Doug, and I think this is really important, is that the combination of the elements, I don't think people understand this because the scripture is very clear that God wants to give us revelation beyond the rudimentary elements of the world. But what's interesting is God's people don't understand the rudimentary elements of the world, which you're talking about, basically earth, wind, and fire, not the band, the elements. And ladies and gentlemen, even in the presentation of Elijah standing before the Lord, running from Jezebel for her life in the cave, remember this, and it says, but the Lord was not in the storm. The Lord was not in the events, the wind, but he was in the still small voice. And so this is what's important. In essence, what we are seeing is we're seeing, if you will, the intelligence designed to destroy God's image in creation being, how should I say this, manufactured out of hydrogen, oxygen. And Jesse, I want you, I don't want to take away from this. This is important. Orbs, usually, when they're blown up, I'm not talking about the TikTok shape, I'm talking about circular ones, they have an outer, it's like a nucleus of an atom, but they have an inner core. Explain to people what you learned, because I'd never heard that in my entire life. But it's important, ladies and gentlemen, because every day I'm getting orbs from people's backyards or, you know, from different places around the world. Every day I'm getting YouTubes, which, by the way, YouTube a minute ago was down, and so was Google. So I wouldn't doubt there's a full-scale cyber attack either underway or starting or in the middle of. But the thing is that it's critical, Jesse, that you explain the orbs makeup, because it doesn't matter size, and how, if that's true, what you're talking about is a transmutation of elements, and that's a fancy word for basically changing stuff from one form to another based on an elemental foundational God created. Look, God created the dirt, God created the air, water, everything that's in it. But the other thing I want you to know, and this is why I don't think you and I have ever talked about this before. I don't think so. And if I have, correct me, but the Oannes, O-A-N-N-E-S, the Oannes legends are of the creatures, half man and half fish. Some people call them mermen, you know, and not mermaids. This is important, that the origin of life came from the sea. That is not a biblical construct, but that is a New Age / supernatural world of witchcraft originating theme, okay? I didn't evolve from a fish. You know, and by the way, you know, it's important that you understand this, Doug. I hope this is critical. What we're talking about is if you understand the root of evil, you can understand the fruit of evil. So if someone's looking in the sky and seeing an orb, and oh, by the way, you know, again, Skinwalker Ranch is showing all these orbs going into solid matter, coming out the other side of solid matter. And how can they do that? Well, the bottom line is because they're not in a physical form at that, but they're transforming. They're changing their energy structure. And I used to think, and I was corrected again by a special operations real general in real time, that he said, Steve, if they don't change the structure of that which they pass through, they change their structure. Go ahead, Jesse. That's a big, important issue, because until people understand this, and I never did until you told me about it, and I actually thought, where's he going with this? Not, I thought you were crazy. I just, you know, I won't accuse you of what people accuse me of. And that was never that. It was, I don't understand. Help me to understand, Lord. So please continue on.
Okay. So basically, I think a very important key that I think something that's extremely important for us to understand in addition to this is that every mode that they are utilizing, whether we're seeing them in a ball of fire or in a clear orb that, you know, appears to be like, you know, like a nucleus or a baby that's covered within the amniotic sac that's covering the center of the orb, or whatever shape, form, or fashion that they are utilizing, we need to understand is that they are operating within the boundaries and constraints of the universal laws that govern our physical realm. These are the universal laws that God has set in place. This is the way that God has set it up, and they have no choice but to operate within it. And because they understand this clearly and they know the secrets of the universe, and this is why they have no forgiveness, they're able to manipulate every living organism that consists of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. So these are the basic elements. These are the basic living organisms that are found within every element, and they are operating through it. So this is why we see orbs. An orb, whether it's large or small, is nothing more than an entity operating on a molecular level. And in order for them to move and to operate, they need to have some type of dominion. And this is where the artifacts come in. The artifacts were specifically designed to occupy space, but not only so, but to bring people, the people that they have revealed them and constructed them through, to bring them in covenant and into agreement so that they have the ability to move and operate within our physical realm. The only areas that they are allowed to operate are the areas that we are not occupying through the power and the authority of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what I didn't understand then when I was going through all of this stuff in my home with the orbs. And not only so, Steve, but these experiences are what have drawn me to see how it is that they utilize these elements. And it's not only so, you just mentioned Elijah right now at the moment. And, like I said, this is not something that the enemy has created. This is not something that they have devised and said, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to function. No, this is the way that God has set it up. In Genesis chapter 3, God manifested himself through the burning bush. It's an avenue that God created in order for him to reveal himself on a lower level, in order for it not to destroy Moses. And this is how he chose to reveal himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 13, when he led the children of Israel through the great and terrible wilderness. The Lord led them through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Moving on to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30 to 36, Elijah calls out the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, and they have this duel at the top of the mountain. And before, after the prophets of Baal did, you know, they're cutting themselves and screaming out to Baal and no response, it was Elijah's turn, and he rebuilt God's altar, dug a ditch in the ground enough to hold two seahs of seed, which is representative of the element. He put 12 stones after, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel. But what grabs my attention the most is how he poured 4 jugs of water, and then he told them, do it again. They poured another 4, and he told them, do it again. And after that, there was a manifestation of God by fire over the water. How does that work? I don't know. But all I know is that the elements somehow play some type of role in this. And it doesn't end there. You know, and people may say, Jesse, that's the Old Testament, and this is that, and this is this. Well, you know what? Let me take you to John chapter 5, to the pool of Bethesda, where the angel comes and stirs the water, and whoever went and touched it was healed. How does that work? I don't know. Well, that's, you know, if anybody may think that this is something coincidental, well, let me tell you something. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, Jesus stood up on the last day, on the last great day of the feast, and he said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the Ruach. That is the wind of God. And it isn't until we get to Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul expressly identifies them as elemental beings by nature. Remember, they are operating and they are utilizing the constructs that have been set by God and the universal laws that he has set in place in order for them to govern our physical realm. This is why not only every major pantheon in the history of the world and every god is connected to some type of element, but not only so, if you take a look at the Babylonian zodiac chart, which is the equivalent to the Hebrew Maserat, every single symbol on this chart is connected to an element. Is it coincidental that they need the elements to function through and move and operate within our physical realm? But like I said, it isn't until we get to Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul reveals to us that it is the basis of their origin and function. And I believe that this translation was a bit lost, and I think that's an understatement, but it has been lost because of whatever it is that the church is going through. But it's, when we read it in the Bible, it's interpreted as basic principles or the rudiments of this world. And when you take a look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, or Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. Well, if we take a look at this word rudiments in the Greek, it translates to stoichion. And stoichion, the interpretation and translation to stoichion is elemental spirits. And Paul here is revealing to us the nature from where they begin to operate. And they are not able to operate outside of the boundaries of this construct. And it, you know, we all know that Hollywood always makes films revealing some type of element of truth. And something that has extremely gravitated towards me and has grabbed my attention is, of course, I looked up interdimensional portals used in movies in Hollywood, and the list is endless. I can be literally Event Horizon, water portal, Constantine, every time that Constantine connected with the powers in an interdimensional every time he facilitated himself within the capacity of operating and interacting with the spiritual, it was through water. He sat himself in a tub and connected with these powers through water. If you take a look at, there's another movie, I've never seen it, but because I researched it, I was able to partially witness and testify to this show. It's called Stranger Things. Every time these scientists in a lab decided that every time that they attempted to connect with the spiritual realm and receive some type of knowledge and understanding of how these powers move and operate, they were doing it through water. So this is extremely important for us to know, is that this is not just happening through Hollywood. This is happening in real life. Doug?
I'm sorry. We're having some technical issues. You said Steve dropped? Okay. All right. Jesse, fascinating information. I want to go back to what you said, or Steve said, if you don't mind. There was a statement, and I wrote it down here. I think Steve made the statement, if you can expand on this, we only have about 9 minutes left of the show. If you can expand on this, going back to orbs specifically, coming through portals, changing, how did he say this? They had to change shape or the portals.
Doug, I can help you with this. Okay?
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I was kind of.
You're struggling, and I want to make it very clear.
Please, please.
When Jesus walked through the door or appeared in the midst of disciples, he wasn't changing the physical door. He is in a different, if you will, elemental. He's in the spirit. The spirit world can walk through doors. It can go into rocks and come off rocks. A good example, too, of what Jesse's saying is the triumphal entry of Jesus. We just went past the resurrection Sunday. The thing is that Jesus made a powerful statement. If the people hadn't cried out, Hosanna, that even the rocks would cry out. So, Doug, what I'm saying is this. The ability to change your physical form. This isn't any kind of New Age occult stuff, but it's like Jacob's ladder. What was Jacob's ladder? Jacob's ladder was a portal. Let's just use this word, a portal, a stargate. It was an opening. So the elements that, and that's what Paul's talking about. And Jesse, that's one thing I didn't understand. And ask me questions on the air, because if I can't answer it, Jesse can and will. But it was the person of Jesus. It's like angels when they appear in your bedroom, or fireballs come down the hall and there's a big angel. And the thing is that you can go look at your wall. There's no burn marks, you know. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. That's why the physical body can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. We have to be transformed. And so what I hope you're hearing me in this, Doug, is that the matter doesn't change. Even when you open up a Stargator portal, it's not that when portals or Stargates are opened, that's a physical doorway, or that's a physical doorway, or a Stargate, a wormhole, compressed time and space. But when Jesus, or what Jesse is saying, it is the transformation, in essence, change. Let's just use this word. Transformation may be confusing. It's the ability to move through solid matter in a non-physical form, that like Jesus. Is that accurate, Jesse?
That's accurate. And I think something that's extremely important for us to know and to understand is that, when it comes to these entities moving and operating, whether it be through earth, wind, fire, water. I once again, I believe that this is, God who is, you know, sits in heaven and is just laughing at them, because the greatest element that God is utilizing against these entities who are moving and operating, manipulating and reconstructing what God has originally intended to be, and that's us here on this earth, is the way and the form that God has created his servants, because we, as his children, were created from the dust. And we, as his children, breathe because he has breathed into us. And we, as his children, are 71% water. So the greatest elements walking and moving, for those who know how to walk and operate in the authority of Christ, are his people, and his people that carry the gospel in our hearts as a treasure in this earthen vessel, knowing that the excellency of the power is of God and never of us.
So it changes us on an element level, right?
Well, yeah, yes. In essence, it does. All human beings, and this is really critical. I got to tell you guys something. I've been around, you know, 52 years, study a lot of research. This could not be revealed to the 20th century man, even though the Apostle Paul had understood this about the fundamental elements of the earth. But here's it. We are spirit beings living in a physical, on carbon, you know, on carbon, nitrogen, oxygen. And so when we die, the spirit, Jesse called it the ruach in Greek, the pneuma, pneumatikoi, from which we get the word pneumonia or pneumatic. It's interesting. We are changed, okay? When Jesus comes back, he's coming back in, and it has to be his redeemed physical body, because he's going to bear for eternity the scars on his palms, actually here closer to the wrist, his feet, and his side, where the spear pierced his side. It's astonishing, ladies and gentlemen. Even the global Luciferian monster mass murdering people want to destroy every carbon footprint, which is human beings. And Doug, I hope I'm answering questions.
There it goes. Yeah, you just did.
Okay. Yeah, okay, good. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this isn't my earpiece. It's my stupid hearing aid. God bless you for praying for my ears. But what Jesse's revealing here, look, I want to share something. The scope of revelation of this is the keys. This is the mystery of the kingdom. This is a big deal. This is why, and it's so critical. I hope you guys understand this. When you have the artifacts, both pre-Adamic and post-Adamic, that, you know, we've proven on film, these aren't some guys in TJ, Tijuana, I can't even pronounce it the way he does, you know, carving out duplicate copies. That's why I don't try to learn Spanish. I murder it. But the point is that you guys pray about this. And I pray you that, because I know we're running out of time.
We got a minute left, brother.
Yeah, everybody understands this. Please recognize that the truth shall set you free. And what he just laid out to you guys was the truth. This is born out of the artifacts. This is born out of a man. I'm not lifting him up, but he's paid the price in prayer. He's paid the price in intercession. Please, everyone, keep praying for our Gen 6 project. We need the people that really believe and really get it to stand with us. And we're believing God to release, you know, and this isn't a plea for money, but release people who are capable of supporting this work. It's the most important work archaeologically, theologically, and it's not bragging. Jesse, God bless you. Brother, God bless you.
God bless you guys. Love you guys.
Jesse, you were remarkable. Thank you. Steve, thank you so very much. And I'm not talking out of school, but I know that Steve has got some very special things planned in the works. Jesse, as well. God bless you both. Thank you so very much for a very important program. I appreciate you both. Folks, that'll do it. That'll do it for us today. May God bless you. By the way, we probably we're going to be dark for a day. So please take this program, share it with everyone you know. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day.